well, I was listening to your station as usual, and I hear her going to represent a lady that got in an accident 3 years ago. I think it's best to get into these things early, because they get in late a lot.
You don't think that everything depends upon the circumstances?
No, I always ask you questions, you know, Miss Ellis. You just try to paint things for me, like if I say, I'm asking questions. I want to know, she showed it 3 years again to send lawyers that don't lost cases for these people. I've seen it yesterday because somebody died too. So you don't hear anything?
I haven't heard anything, but I heard it was on the ABC highway near Coverley. Was it in the same?
You heard the name? You know, call?
Hold on. Are you suggesting that it was in exactly the same place where the accident had occurred?
It could have been in front of the Hyatt Hotel. This is what I'm saying. The accident had occurred.
There's no Hyatt Hotel?
I mean, where the spot. They're in charge of the spot. If it happened anywhere where a particular gentleman have anything to do with it, is a big thing. Let me get my phone over before you move.
The truth of the matter is that the two of them, I don't know that there's anything that has come before us to suggest that the two particular accidents are on all fours. So no, I don't know where you're going with that. Fours. What's the last saying, point you got? Let's
the last one is this. There last week, I heard on your station again that the lady running the city is asking for help. And the gentleman who represents the private sector said that they don't get into this political thing, helping parties and etc. And she was asking for office, I think it was, some things to dress and make up herself and a vehicle and etc. You can help me. How in 3 days, 2 to 3 days after, she could be on a cleanup in town? Where did that first come from?
You know that they got some people who, before they become politicians, they don't have a cent. And as soon as they become politicians, life changes.
Okay, I know that.
You don't think? Hold on a minute. What makes her any different?
No, it makes a lot of difference to me.
Tell me what's the difference.
To move vehicles from anywhere in Barbados, you got to go through certain procedures. You just can't go. 3 days ago, she was a lady with nothing to beg, ask for help, which all politicians do, even the rich ones. All is asked for funds, and I don't see why she can't ask for funds too. But I want to know how 3 days after, how she get sponsors and all something to do this. It is confusing. It looked to me that something's going on.
Well,
and I believe people in the news like you does know. And I wish you ain't got to tell me everything.
No, I just have a healthy cynicism of all things and all people political, including you. Go on. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Hello? Just turn your radio off, please.
Good afternoon, Thomas.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi.
Last week Thursday, I went to the bus stand to catch a 10:30 bus. And I catch a bus after 4 o'clock.
Yes?
Yes.
And that is all what them happens tell you, from time
all
to time?
All them tell you the bus is out.
Well, you've heard everybody else talk about the bus problem. Yes. Where you live?
St. George.
How often has this happened to you?
Every day.
So how much time you think you lose per day because of it?
A lot.
Approximately how much time? An hour? 2 hours? 3 hours?
2 hours.
You lose more than 2 hours. You lose that time in the morning or in the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Right. So in the afternoon, you would, we assume, have finished your work. You work and go home. So you're not necessarily losing productivity that way.
No.
So how does it impact on the rest of your life? What time do you get home?
I went to the supermarket that Thursday.
Right. You didn't go to work.
No.
So how does that impact on you? I mean, the day that you go to work and you get home 3 hours later.
Well, I just always catch one. I go in bus stand and I say, dress our bus. I just got to look and catch a minibus to get home early.
Right. So you're still able to get home as long as you use a minibus?
Yes. But I don't like catching minibus cars. Them just go all around. I don't want to go all around the world.
Yeah. So you still have a fallback position. There
yes.
are some people who may not. But
yes.
in your case, you do.
Yes.
I understand the concern. Do you like the convenience of using the transport board bus?
Yes.
It is a challenging situation because of all that has been discussed already. What can we do? We can just sit down here and hope for the best, and we can talk about it, raise consciousness, and hope that by raising the consciousness of people, we will get political action of one type or the other that will ultimately ease that situation that you are facing.
And the people that saw vets, all them that said, vote, and what did I get in my vote?
That's what you are hearing?
I get in my vote? And what's that you say on Thursday evening? Nobody ain't get any water for nobody. Any water for nobody.
So what do you think? What do you think is causing that?
It's government people.
Well, I think in the circumstances, I really believe that what I'm picking up is that people who say I'm not voting are more likely to be Democratic Labour Party supporters. BLP people are going to go to vote. So if the Democratic Labour Party is to do well in the next elections, it will have to mobilize that support out there. But they seem to have a lot of time on their hands, so we wait and see how they deal with it. Thank you very much. Let's take another call. Hello?
Hey.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
Yeah, you know who you're talking to?
No.
This is Rudolph.
Rudolph.
You don't take my message on your phone?
Oh, you mean Rudolph, who calls me so regularly from Deacon's Road?
Listen, why do the call addresses? Hey, listen, what's this question? In Beijing terms, Parliament closed off, right?
Yeah.
I hear you keep on saying about the government ministers getting 3 months of salary. How are you going to say that, Mr. Ellis? How many election ain't called?
Well, I expect that elections are going to be closer to June than any other time. So it would have been from March, it was? March, April, May. March, April, May, June. So March would have been, it's early March.
But nobody will know.
So 90 days.
Prime Minister.
Oh, give me a break. The Prime Minister has already. What are you trying to do now? The Prime Minister has already made it clear that if you get your time, you can take the time. And he has made it abundantly clear to us that he is going to take as much of the time as he can. So how many about you know?
I am still saying you keep on saying three salaries.
Come on. All right, we'll get two. Two and a half then.
But stop saying three.
Two and a half.
Wait till the Prime Minister call, Mr. Ellis.
Well, I just said three, so he will plan prove me wrong.
Three? What are you getting a three salary?
Let him prove me wrong.
But another thing, if the go down to 90 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government can get 3 months salary, right?
And?
How much the officer can get?
Same thing.
You see what I tell you?
So your point is what?
What do you want the opposition to give up the salary?
But the opposition is in no position to call the election?
But, they're not talking about election. You all keep on saying that the government minister is going to get 3 months' salary.
Defend them. Let me hear you.
What is the opposition going to get, Mr. Ellis?
But I told you already.
Well, you want to tell me already, but tell the donor to view up then.
You could tell them what you want to tell them.
But keep talking about 3 months. Stop talking about 3 months. Stop talking about 3 months, Mr. Ellis. It is not fair because the opposition, every election takes the next 5 months. The opposition is going to get their salary too. thing and get their salary till you know that. Stop talking about 3 months and permission and get $60,000 for your next 3 months. Nobody only permission and call election. And you know that too. So stop saying that there. It's not fair. How you going?
You done now? Down to brass tacks. Hello? Hello? You're on the air. Welcome to the program, Down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I listened just now. And the history behind propaganda is a comedy truth. And it amazed me that not only today, that I hear people calling and saying that the opposition lawyers wait till after 3 years to say they're going to defend somebody that actually don't took place at Coverley. Let me ask you a question. And I expected you to correct the person.
Everything depends upon when the case was brought. The case against the woman has only just been, the driver has only just been brought. So it couldn't stand up to scrutiny to say that they waited for 3 years.
You can only defend
the matter when it has been
brought. The matter is being put before the court, when the person was charged.
Of course.
And the lady was only charged when he signed the paper. Last week or something.
That's right.
Political nonsense that coming from the other side. And I expected you to correct them. Because they keep coming with this thing. Why do she wait till after 3 years? What are the opposite of
you? You know,
you
can't chase everything, you know.
But,
it don't make sense chasing
everything.
But you know
I'm here doing what I think the public should know.
What's
is
that?
To keep them informed when propaganda starts. And that is foolish. I wouldn't even like to discuss that part. Because when they could come out and use that as something pertaining to the opposition, it make a little child cringe any cradle that they believe that sensible people could come with it. If you went on the road just now and a police report you for speeding, you could go and get a lawyer and go to court tomorrow and say he's going to represent you and they're charging even later. Man, David, thank you for the late time you give me. Because when I hear the David calling, I know they don't make the sense. So I give you the opportunity to bring a balance. So keep the balance. Thank you, David.
All right, sir. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome. Nice to talk to you. Is Parliament dissolved?
Yeah.
Right, and why are the politicians still getting paid? They're getting paid a full salary and
because,
yet 3 months.
Because the system that we have allows the government to stay intact, the executive remains intact, until a new executive is chosen.
Yeah, but that is not fair because they're not working and they got back to 10% before. And now they're getting paid full time and they are not working.
We heard
working.
A caller before you, one of them earlier. Made the observation that they are indeed working as far as he is concerned.
Working doing what?
Looking after the government, keeping the government running. That's the point he was making.
I hope that if Ms. Motley gets in there, that she will change this constitution. She has the majority, she can do that.
Two-thirds
she
majority.
She does not have to wait so long.
All right, sir.
And they're getting paid. Number two,
mm-hmm.
The $49 million that the union refused, was it really offered by the government, or you don't know?
The union has a different interpretation on what happened there.
It is not the same as he's suggesting.
What
I would say is this. I hope that the government take the $49 million and get this country in this out of the mess that is in. They should take the $49 million, get the crop started, bring in new buses and new sanitation trucks.
When all this is supposed to be done before the elections?
Yes, because they're waiting for the 90 days, so in the 90 days then they can do
not
that.
90 days, ain't 90 days anymore, you know.
Yeah, it's what time to have left. And then take the rest
days.
That remains and put in the foreign reserves and get this country working again. This country is in a total mess. They have messed up this country. And it is hard, but we have to do. I believe that Ms. Motley will get rid of that new tax that they put on us last year, RSN, and also she will get rid of the students having to pay that 20%. She's a woman to her word. I hope she gets in there. Otherwise, all we can do, we all, young and old, can hold hands together and know what we can sing? Mr. Ellis?
What's that?
You know what we can sing if we hold hands together, young and old?
What's that?
We can sing there's peace and rest in paradise. All right. Thank you.
Just to tell you that if you're talking about June 6th, then 72 days left. And if we're talking about June the 3rd, the 69 days left. So no 90 days anymore. The countdown continues. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. I said, that's why I put you on the defensive now.
Sure.
Are you coming at you?
Please do.
I'm a spin boy, see?
Yes.
The country is looking forward
for
Mr. Stewart and the DLP to be doing something good for Barbados. But Mr. Stewart is not capable of doing nothing better than what he's doing. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
I know Mr. Stewart from the time he was about 10 years old. I was raised on the block in Six Roads. And the same old thing, these big words that he learned from Cameron Tudor are actually the way of speaking from Mr. Cameron Tudor. Mr. Stewart still bring that to politics today. You know, talking about he going to punish things with laughs and all them foolish antics. That was our talk in Sixth Road. From the 60s.
You were part of that?
I'm part of that.
Yes. How many of you used to sit down on lame and talk like that?
Many of us.
A lot of you.
One of our leaders was the late Harold Blackman.
Okay.
Right? That is the area we came from. Mr. Stewart never was a leader.
Well, he,
and Barbados is doing this country. You know, the voters are injustice electing him to be prime minister.
Look, people bring strengths and weaknesses to leadership. You spent a bit of time looking at the weaknesses of Mr. Stewart today. But what of his strengths? What do you see? Does he have any strengths at all?
None whatsoever.
How could that be? If he has no strengths, how has he been able to keep this cabinet together?
Because,
what has been the secret of
Mr.
his success
there? Mr. Stewart is afraid of the cabinet. You remember the Eager 11? That's it hanging over his head. And I know what he is doing.
But the man has been able to run for 2 terms, therefore, as Prime Minister of the country. So how could you look at that and say that there is no success there?
With the people in Barbados, all of us, listen, since Mr. Stewart come about, so much undertakers come on the scene, isn't it funny? And you know this is true.
Well, that's only because...
On the morning,
that's
it's
only
the hour now.
But you can't attribute that to Mr. Stewart.
Of course I am doing it. Because
you don't, that's not fair.
Stress people.
Okay.
So stress.
But you need to have a proper study to conclude that it is the stress that has killed more people in Barbados in this period, and no such study has been done. So on the basis of that, you know... And some people will tell you that stress is also self-induced.
But I am begging you to don't defend the Democratic Labour Party. Let us get rid of the people and we know things will be better in this
country.
Well,
let me ask you something. Because you know, I've heard you. But let me ask you this. Because there are a lot of us who don't have that knowledge of Mr. Stewart as a young man in St. Philip. Apart from the big words and all of that, who was he? As a young man growing up,
he's just a little ordinary boy running around the road with him.
Little ordinary boy.
Let me tell you something. Mr. Stewart don't even know the history of the Democratic Labour Party. They had a opening session at the roundabout in Sixth Road. And both he and the leader of the country at the time, Mr. Thompson, they said Mr. Crawford helped fought for independence. And we had... We had a historian by the name of Professor something. I know his name, but I didn't want to call his name. But you know, he goes down as a professor.
Okay. Let me.
He was there, and you know, that he won't correct them and tell them that ain't true, that Mr. Crawford get kicked out of the Democratic Labor Party through independence. Mr. Short don't even know the background of the Democratic Labor Party.
Because I'm still trying to get a picture here of a man who was, according to you, a little boy running boat in Six Roads and St. Philip, who was able to emerge from that, go into the teaching profession, then take up law, mm-hmm. and ultimately become successful, politically successful,
that
to have been the prime minister.
Hold on.
What I'm saying to you is that notwithstanding what you see as the weaknesses, I still can't go with you to say that he has achieved nothing. He has not been a success of some sort. I mean, it cannot be. The evidence does not support that.
Are you speaking
that.
About leadership? You know?
Leadership, fine.
Yes, I'm speaking
leadership.
About leadership.
You can right. Because when I asked you earlier about him, you never gave me the sense of a fellow who was able to beat significant odds, because the way you describe him will certainly cement the notion that he was able to surmount a lot of difficulties to come where he is. Now, let me ask you this question. To what extent do you think the environment in which he was brought up in St. Philip helped to shape the kind of leader that he is? Have you ever stopped to think? You told me that you and the other fellas used to be there talking like Cameron Tudor, and he was mimicking him too.
Yeah.
So I want to suggest to you, you played a major role in the creation of what we got today.
But not as a leader. I tell you who was the leader.
But you were one of the boys.
Yeah, but you should have felt.
Like I said this to you too.
You should have felt
a degree of pride in knowing that one of your own...
At one point in time. But my pride turns to shame now.
You were ever a supporter of the Democratic Labor Party?
All of that time. All in those early days.
When you stop?
Huh?
When you stop supporting the Dems?
As soon as Mr. Barron was gone.
Okay. Why would you have left them after he was gone?
I will tell you that my decision was right, because nobody haven't done anything as far as the Democratic Labor Party is concerned since Mr. Barrow died.
And
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, nobody in the Democratic Labor Party has been able to measure up to Mr. Barrow's stature.
Exactly.
That's correct. That's fair and reasonable since he died. But have you been able to look across the other side and see
of
anything
course.
Better?
Yes, I knew about the late days of Mr. Grantley Adams, Tom Adams come, and he was the best prime minister in this country, and my love turned to him. He mm-hmm. had a cabinet of the caliber of the Henry Ford, the Bree St. John, and all of them fellas, and they were good people to Barbados. But we got a crowd of people now, all pulled-down people. And I don't see why, even on this calling program, people entertaining this ignorance about they're looking for the Democratic Labor Party to keep running this country. You can't like Barbados. You can't have no love for this country if you want to continue seeing the Democratic Labor Party.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Right.
Well, I want to say that at this stage we understand the kind of difficulties that will be facing the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force today. The shocking death of one of their colleagues and the injury which has been suffered by a female member of the force as well would make it exceedingly difficult for them. And we want you to know that many, many Barbadians have you in their prayers, and you can rest assured of the support of the Barbadian community. This is what life is all about. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
Right. I want to identify with the sentiments that's rendered on behalf of the police.
Yeah.
And is that the police, they're here to protect us, and they need all the support and fortification in all the areas. So you're on the on cue, you're on the ball there. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want to reciprocate something that you did to me on the calling. Excuse me. In a positive way. You remember the time you conferenced me recently with a gentleman when he asked a question about the NIS, and I responded, in your estimation, on the ball?
What happened?
And you said, Raul, you're bad. Well, I want to say to David, you're bad.
Oh.
That guy from that spoke about Mr. Stewart just now, when you start to really put him in a vortex, he had no way out. David, you're really bad. But then I'm not surprised you're a senior journalist. And that's expected of you. But you had him good.
How so?
Because you're asking him things. It sounds to me like there's a personal vendetta, personalized kind of situation, which is unfortunate.
It sounds so?
Excuse me. Huh?
It sounds so to you?
Yeah, it sounds so. When you start to really put it, look, you helped mentor Mr. Stewart, et cetera, sir. And look, when look at the child sitting from a teacher into lawyer, into prime minister, da, 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 da. You don't think that you were part of that? Mentorship, da-da-da. You know, things, yeah, I mean, you really had him good at you. But we understand personalized things, and I guess people can go to some extremity when they're in this personal mode and whatever.
Especially sometimes against and sometimes for.
Right. No, you don't worry about that subtlety. You stop with that, sir. the lady that said that people aren't, the lady with the bus situation, I think, I am asking persons to, there's a big general election, come out and vote.
For or against the bus situation?
Come out and vote.
For or against the situation with the buses?
I'm not going to be caught in who they shall vote.
Because if
for.
You're dealing with the issue of buses in Barbados, then
no,
people
I
hearing you would have come to
no,
the conclusion that you wanted to vote against the government.
No. No, don't worry that. Don't worry that.
Because the bus situation is so bad that if you tell somebody, vote on the basis of this kind of problem.
Not so, sir. Don't do that.
I just want you to clarify.
I am saying the bus talk was going to highlight the lady that was speaking about the bus. Nothing to do with the bus per se. That is not the nucleus of what I'm saying. Nothing to do with the bus. It is just that lady that you would identify who I mean by saying the lady that spoke about the bus, etc.
Why should they come out and vote?
But then she was saying that... because you want sound governance, you don't want any kind of reckless kind of situation existing. You don't want any of that sort of thing. And we've got Mr. Stewart and his... And you asked that gentleman, you said to that gentleman, you know that he's shown a lot of resilience, the Prime Minister, he's upheld the country as we speak, etc. He didn't have any answer for things like that.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. I said he has been able to keep his government together.
Right.
And he's getting involved in resilience and all of that, because after 20 downgrades, I don't know nothing about no resilience.
Well, let me tell you something, you see. We've got no ministry time now to wait. Just now it's going to be...
But you heard the people who have been attacking him on the basis of stretching us out like this? What are you going to say about that? Defend him. Let me hear you.
I'm going to defend foolishness, utter foolishness.
Speak.
I want to continue with Mr. Your moderator yesterday, Mr. Sanka Price, because I started it with him yesterday when a guy with some sheer nonsense talking about we are in a constitutional crisis. And Mr. Price, I commended him yesterday when he asked, what constitutional crisis you are speaking of, sir?
The people who criticized, a person said this morning that they feel hijacked.
Stupidness, man. Sorry to show that you like that, but you know emotion.
I know how, I can understand.
Foolishness. Look. The Constitution afforded, when the Constitution, when that law was rendered, I hope you know they knew that anybody that would have taken
they it. They said this was for emergency scenarios, not for this kind of behavior.
Who said that about emergency?
Other people have said that when that particular flexibility there was for a scenario where you had an emergency or something, not for somebody that it was never contemplated prior to this, that somebody would use the Constitution in that way. Speak to those people.
No, I don't want to hear that. That is silliness in my estimation. That is
wrong. Why? Tell me why it's silly.
Look, the Constitution would have gone through a thorough
up and down as to what or whatever could have been prevailed when they passed that and made it constitutional. And that has been, that is a fact. So when it is news, it could have been used by anybody. It was there all the
so
time.
So what about this argument that it is one thing to stick by the letter of the law, but you have to also abide by the spirit of it all? And the spirit of it all, some people feel that this is wrong, that legally right but morally wrong to subject the people of Barbados to this.
No, 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 not at all.
Especially at a time when you need to fix this economy and you out there, as far as they see it, fiddling while we're on burns.
Fiddling while we're on burns and all of these. Look, the government has just designed a plan to, for taking us forward, etc. What fiddling? You think, listen, Mr. Ellis, you are...
But you can't implement the plan before the elections?
Listen, though.
If you just implement a plan, you would be expected to move quickly to implement that plan if you have just fashioned it. But if you hold off elections for all this period, you can't do anything, what happens in the meantime? Respond to that.
Listen to me. You think that the government is going to arrive at a plan by just whims and fancy? That would be thoughtfully gone into a lot of analysis would be carried out, a projection, this, that, and then you...
But the plan still cannot be implemented before elections. That's the point you're not responding to.
So what you want me to answer and say, that it is there for...
Let your conscience be your guide. Let us not just stick with the politics of it all. Let your conscience be your guide.
We are not going to the IMF, and that is...
Who says?
Unequivocally...
Who says?
The government.
And where you can get your money from? If you don't go to the IMF,
why the opposition don't come and say they were going?
Where are you going to get the money from? If you're telling me unequivocally,
I understand you, sir. Why the opposition don't?
No, let's not deal with the opposition right now. Opposition or the Democratic Labour Party? Who, if you don't go to the IMF, tell me where you're going to get the money from?
They're not going to the IMF. The IMF is.
It's coming to us.
Listen, sir. You there?
Yes.
There's an entrenched fear in person with the IMF, especially this side of town.
An entrenched fear?
You want some sport?
You want hear talk?
Don't let me smartly come on.
Let me tell you something. You want hear sport? When this election is over, if the Democratic Labour Party remains in office, you're going to hear the sweetest talk.
Analysis.
Coming from certain people as to why we have to do it. You don't forget, let me finish. They have already dropped the remark, if the people want us to go to the IMF, I suppose we will end up having to go, words to that effect. So the sweetest talk will come at you.
And this one, we can say Mr. Ellis is not authority on it. That is on your projection and your perspective. But the government clearly indicated by all whatever that they're not going to end.
Man, you got beer talk, man, Roll. Roll, you got talk without anything to back it up.
That is why the listen for the comment. You ready?
Yes.
Hello. That is why. My trump card was this. The amount of people that are satisfied that the government hasn't gone to the IMF, they're going to thank Mr. Stewart by voting for him.
But you know, Ron, we are not stupid people. If the government's finances...
I know you didn't raise that union, Jack.
If the government's finances are as challenged as they are right now, even if you go and sell off a piece of this and a piece of that...
Yeah.
To get some quick foreign reserves.
Yeah.
You still have to live beyond that. After this winter season is finished.
Yeah.
You have to go deal with things like the summer period and all of that.
Yeah.
And if you have decided that you're not sending home public servants, then...
Don't touch on that.
If you're not dealing with the problems in the statutory corporations that draining the government's resources and all of that... then you are going to be in a serious crisis. The deficit situation is one thing, and then you have to deal with these falling foreign reserves. And after the winter season, unless you can get some massive injection of foreign direct investment, you're going to be, you know, the trend continues.
Unless, how you know it isn't going to happen? You can't see in the future.
Look, that's true. I can't see in the future. You know what I have to live with? The trend.
Hold on a minute.
I have the trend of the past couple of years as my guide. I can't see in the future. But I know what we have been seeing with respect to our foreign reserves since 2008. And therefore, you expect me to believe that we will have a marked change in that trend? Well,
yes, with a misguided analysis from yourself. What were you expecting?
Well, misguided analysis. My analysis is based upon the facts that have been put before us. We're all, or you, on the other hand, giving me a wing and a prayer. A wing and a prayer. How can I go with that? All right. Down to brass tacks.
Just for the smell.
You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, good afternoon. My name's Mrs. Anita Watson.
Yes, Mrs. Watson.
Mrs. Watson, yeah. I'm originally from the UK, but I've been visiting the island for the past 19 years.
Yes.
So I don't know everything about the island, of course, especially with the Prime Minister and etc. But it's just my observations travelling here over the years. All right?
What is your observation?
My observation is I originally started using public transport because it was very ready available. So you come out, you get the bus. My friend would say the bus is due at such and such a time. But I've noticed gradually, especially the last 3 years, if there's any bus turns up at all. So as a visitor to the island, it's quite disappointing. It has deteriorated dramatically.
Where have you stayed in Barbados?
I've stayed mostly in St. Philip.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so I've travelled maybe from College Savannah, from around Emerald Six Roads area.
Yeah.
Either to Oystins, either to Bridgetown.
You say it has deteriorated. How badly?
Very well. For instance, I was here in November last year, and I had an appointment. I left in good enough time, I would have thought, 8 o'clock. The appointment was for 10:30. Left because you incorporate what else might be going on: traffic, build up, people going to work, etc., school children, and so forth. And all after 11 o'clock, no bus. That I had to ring and say I'm not going to make the appointment. I was late. I had an appointment with a solicitor in town, and this has been consistently now. Definitely for the last 3 years, it has gone down, as I said, drastically, where you decided not to bother and you come back home. Or people are waiting. And I mean, I don't know who's supposed to. I mean, I heard Michael Lashley is the transport minister. He's from St. Philip. I've read a little bit about him. You know, he's here for the St. Philip people, etc., because he's a St. Philip boy. But to be honest, the St. Philip people are suffering with their bus service. I can't speak for the other bus services per se, even though I have used them and they also are bad. But I have to deal with St. Philip because this is where I mostly stay, and this is where we've waited. I mean, the other day, over 2 hours for a bus just to go down to Oystins. There's a yellow bus that comes. I believe it's only like a one-off bus, and then you have the yellow buses. Chock-a-block. I mean, the other day it was very dangerous. So I personally, my opinion is the public transport. I come from England where public transport is mandatory. There's no question that you have to have public transport for people who don't drive. It's part of living.
Okay.
Whether it be an old person, just...
But you know what you're saying essentially is that even though the public transport system is not as good as it was 3 years ago, you are still able to catch one of the private vehicles. Is that correct?
No, I never said that. Well, I said, someone said there's a yellow bus that travels...
Okay, but that doesn't happen for you.
Because the thing is, because there's no public transport run by the government, on a regular basis, when the yellow bus comes down, which it has come down eventually, because they also are overstretched, it is absolute. There was no way you would be able to get on that bus because it's dangerous. Because the conductor himself is standing on the step with the door open with passengers.
So how have you fixed the problem? Therefore, have you decided to get a hired vehicle or so?
Well, we have hired a vehicle for some of the time we've been here. We can't afford to hire a vehicle the whole duration of a holiday.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about also the natives of this land, which is Barbados, the Barbadians, and I am a Barbadian by descent. we can question, well, how do you get around? Oh, well, you still managed to get this bus. That's the point is, public transport should be running by the government on a regular basis, when you ask the inspectors at each point...
Okay, let's accept that. Let's accept that that's what's supposed to happen, but I know... You know, I have to play devil's advocate sometimes.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I have to give you the perspective that will come from the supporters of the minister and the government. He says, you know, whenever we raise these types of issues, they say, you know, there's no perfection anywhere. Even in developed countries, they have problems, and they go on the internet and they find some city somewhere that is bigger than ours that has the same problem. At the end of the day, they will suggest to you, you know, for all these difficulties, you know, Barbados has still been ranked as a number one tourist destination.
Mm-hmm. It's a tourist destination because people come here as tourists for the climate, the relaxation after they've worked hard in these developed countries where you're working hard under duress.
So the answer to that is that... The answer to that, therefore, is that there's still a lot in Barbados that is working well.
The climate is nature, so you can't control the climate as a government. So they're coming here.
But there are many other services in Barbados that we provide that are working well. That's the counter that you're going to get. That you've identified one out of so many other things that make your holiday complete. That's what I want you to respond to quickly.
One other thing, I'd like to be able to come here and use public transport on a regular basis, like a lot of the tourists was also waiting for public transport, where they're then standing around asking the inspector, when's the bus due? I was been there many, many times.
Okay.
And it's longer than 3 years, but I'm just saying it's worse than ever.
Okay.
And they then decide, what shall we do?
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling. I hope that the powers that be recognize that that's an issue. No. Quite noticeably, though, the people of St. Philip don't seem to complain about this public transport system in the way that people from St. George, St. Andrew, St. Joseph, and other places do. So,